Well, good morning, Trinity. This is a bit weird, isn't it? These are strange times that we live in, but it is absolutely wonderful that we are able to gather together as church in 10 different locations across the south of Christchurch. Well done for making it out to your gatherings, to your hubs this morning. A very, very warm welcome if you're watching this at home, either because you've been away or because you're concerned about your health. We're delighted that wherever you are, you are able to join with us this morning. Today, what we're going to do is a little bit different from a normal Sunday service, partly because we want to be able to hear from God and hear His word explained as we consider the difficult place that we find ourselves in and hear of His hope and His compassion for us. I want to talk a little bit later on about some of the practical things that we might do as a church family so that we can care for each other during this probably indefinite period of time while we can't meet together. And then at the end, I want to speak briefly about the hope that we have as we look forward. Throughout that time, we will pray together. There'll be prayers led here on the screen, and also I'll invite you to turn and pray together in the groups that you are in, or to pray quietly on your own at home. We'll also sing together. And I do pray that throughout this time you might be greatly encouraged and comforted in the hope of the Lord Jesus, His presence amongst us by His Spirit, and that you might be spurred on to love and trust Him to do good and to know that He is at work in you. Shall we bow our heads and pray together as we start? Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have gathered us to the Lord Jesus. Even though we cannot be together as one family in one place at one time, you are still with us by the power of your Spirit as we come to you, our Father, in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Be with us now as we meet as one church in many locations. Help us to so hear the words of our faith that our fear is quietened and our hope is set upon Jesus, and that we might know how to do good as your people during this time. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to sing together now. We're going to sing those glorious words of amazing grace, God's goodness that reached out to us when we didn't deserve it. Either you're going to have musicians in your groups who will lead you now, or you can click the link, there'll be a link provided that you might be able to sing along to a YouTube clip.
So this morning's first reading is from Psalm 103, verses 1 to 12. So, Psalm 103 of David. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us.
They're wonderful words we've just heard, aren't they? The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. It is because of his character, where he has saved us through the Lord Jesus, and yet speaks the truth into our lives of what we are like as those who would still sin against him, that we can come before him now and honestly, openly and humbly confess our sins to him. Why don't we, in a time of silence, bow our heads and come before our gracious God, confessing how we have wronged him in the wrong that we have done and in the good that we have not done this past week. Why don't we consider the sins that we have committed in our thoughts, with our words, and in our actions. And then after a time of silence, I will lead us in prayer. O gracious God, you do not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For in your great mercy, you have taken our wrongdoing, and you have borne it yourself in the person of your Son. Lord, we come to you and confess that we have sinned in what we have thought and said, in the wrong we have done and in the good we have not done. Father, there have been all sorts of sins that we have committed, and we bring them all to you now, humbly and honestly. Lord, we rejoice that as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is your love for those who fear him. We praise you that through the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, you have removed our transgressions from us as far as the east is from the west. Assure us of your forgiveness now, we pray, and restore to us the joy of your salvation. All this we ask in the strong name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Our reading continues in verse 13. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul.
The most common command in the Bible is do not be afraid. And I presume that the Lord repeats that command to us so many times because he knows that by nature we are people who are fearful. Many of us this week are afraid. In fact, for most of us, I imagine, this week has been the most unusual week of our lives. We have faced things that we've never faced before, certainly as a country, and for many of us as individuals. And as I've chatted to many of you and listened to people, there is an awful lot of fear and anxiety and worry that is around. Many of us are fearful for our lives, particularly those of us who are older or those of us with underlying health conditions. We really worry and we are anxious about what this virus might mean for us, and if not for us, for those whom we love. Many of us are fearful about our jobs. I was speaking to somebody a few days ago who I think in the space of about 12 hours had heard of 12 people who had lost their jobs or would lose their jobs because of the downturn in the economy, the recession, and all the implications around this virus. People are scared about what lack of income, lack of work will mean for them and their families. People are fearful for their children and their grandchildren, what the future will look like. Younger ones are fearful for their parents and their grandparents about not having them around. And many of us are deeply worried about those that we know and love who already wrestle with issues of fear and anxiety, who fight against mental illness. We worry about what all of this will mean for them and their resilience and their capacity. And underlying all of that, I think, is a worry which we all have about what all this means for our way of life, what it means to be a Kiwi, what it means to be part of our community here in Christchurch. We worry about when we're going to be able to be close to other people again. We wonder when we might be able to meet with others, when sports and events and community gatherings and even church will be back to normal. We worry. There's an awful lot to worry about. And into that worry, into our anxiety, God says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And friends, those words, while technically a command by our Lord, they're not given to us so that we might think, oh no, I'm doing the wrong thing by being fearful, or if I was a better Christian, I wouldn't be worried. No, no. No, this is a command God gives us of comfort. It is a gentle word of reassurance and peace to us, for God knows what we are like. As we just heard the psalmist say, he knows how we are formed. He knows that we are like grass, here today, gone tomorrow. He knows that we are frail. He knows that our lives are but a breath, that we are dust. And that's not a comment about our value or our worth, not at all. We are made in the image and likeness of God himself. It is a statement about the reality of our existence. We are mortal, friends. Our lives were given to us, and when the Lord decides, our lives will be taken from us. So very often, we try and convince ourselves that this isn't the case. In the good times, we live as though nothing can challenge us. And yet it is at times like this that we are brought face to face with the reality which God has always known. The life of mortals is like grass. We flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. God knows what we are like, and he has compassion on us. It's scary to think that our lives might end, that the lives of those we love might end. It's scary to see the world around us change so radically and so quickly. And yet into that worry, into that fear, God not only knows who we are, but he speaks words which drive out that fear. From everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children. See, perfect love drives out fear, and God's love for us is perfect. It's a bit confusing, isn't it, to say that God's love is with those who fear him when we are saying that God's love drives out fear. Well, to be fearful of God isn't to be scared of him in the same way that we're scared of a virus. It's to revere him, to humble ourselves before him, to acknowledge him for who he is, the one who holds our lives in his hands. It is to entrust ourselves to him, and we do that because of his perfect love for us, from everlasting to everlasting, from eternity past to eternity future. God loves those who come before him humbly, who come running to him for mercy and forgiveness and grace, just like we've done in confession this morning. Those who come to him in humble obedience, trusting in the King that he has given us, Jesus Christ, his Son. Christian, God's love for you is never going to end. This virus can't stop it. Social isolation, social distancing can't lessen it. His love for you will never, ever end. Our sickness, our poverty, our loneliness, even our fear, as deep and as strong as it is for many of us, it cannot shake God's love. Our situation, despite it being totally new for us, it hasn't caught God off guard. He hasn't stopped loving us. Our hardship, despite this situation, despite this time being so utterly horrible, it's not a sign that God has stopped loving us. Indeed, in this incredible trial which we are all going through, we trust that God's love will be shown to us as he brings us to trust him more and more, as he gives us new opportunities to rely upon him. When we pray, give us this day our daily bread, there will be a reality to that which many of us have never experienced before. His love will prove faithful. His love will be shown as we remember who we really are. His love will be shown to us, and his love will be shown through us. See, this love which God has poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us, he will bring about good for us as we trust that God works for the good of all those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. See, in this trial, and friends, it is a trial, let's not be silly about that, this great trial that we are facing, he still loves us. He has gathered us to himself in Jesus. We remain those whom he has loved with an unshakable, sin-bearing, death-defeating, loneliness-conquering love. He has not and he will not stop loving you. And we, therefore, as those who are loved, we are those who now love. More on that a little later. But for now, my dear brothers and sisters, know that in your fear, in your anxiety, in your worry about the future, God's love has not failed. He is not distant. Hear an assurance that God's love, a love which bore your sin, a love which has defeated your death, and a love which is ever present with you by his Holy Spirit, that love will never fail you. So I'm going to pray now, and then Megan's going to come and lead us in prayer for ourselves and for those around us as well. Will you bow your heads and let's pray together. Our Father, we praise you that you have established your King, the King of love, on your throne, the one who has borne our sin and defeated our death, that his love for us was shown as we hated him, and he came close to us. Father, reassure us of your love, a love which speaks into the reality of our situation, that we are frail, mere mortals, here today and gone tomorrow. Remind us of that love. Pour it out into our hearts by your Holy Spirit, and convince us of the goodness of that love to us, and that you might show your love through us. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in your word you say, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So we thank you that we can come to you with our anxiety, with our global and personal concerns, knowing you hear and answer prayer. Despite the panic and the uncertainty around us, you, God, are still sovereign. The Lord is still on his throne, and Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our trust and our hope are in you, and we rejoice together that our citizenship is in heaven. We thank you that even though we cannot gather as we normally do at 9:30 and at 4 p.m, we can still hear your word, and may it encourage our hearts and enable us to trust you today and this week. Please halt the spread of this coronavirus and spare further loss of life. Enable researchers to find a vaccine. We pray for those in our church affected by health concerns, facing financial loss or uncertainty, and dealing with stress. Please comfort us and help us all to be thoughtful, kind, selfless, and generous. Help us to reach out to our neighbours in love. that many would turn to you and find the hope that Jesus offers during this crisis. We pray for our mission partners, the Broughtons in Central Asia and the Alerts in East Asia. Please give them strength as they navigate the complexity of living as foreigners away from home at this time. For Kayser and family in Pakistan and the Robsons here in Canterbury, please give them every opportunity to point those around them to Christ. May it be evident to all that they are trusting you. We pray for our leaders that they would make wise decisions for the good of all. For Jay Bean, our bishop, we thank you for his leadership and his words of encouragement to look to you for strength and courage. We thank you for the work Dave and Chris and David have put in enabling us to meet today. Please sustain them as they respond to this crisis. We give you great thanks for the provision of a vicarage for the ministry work. We are truly grateful that you have answered our prayer for a home for the Clancy family. Finally, as Psalm 91 says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Help us to make time for daily prayer, talking to you and reading your word, your promises to us. May these days bring us a dependence on you, a closeness to you, our rock. And we pray all this in Christ's name for your glory. Amen.
Well, it wouldn't be church without some notices, would it? So there are a few of them. Today what I'll do is I'll run through a few things that are happening for us in the coming weeks and some changes that are going to be brought about, obviously. I'll put all these in an email so that during the week you can read it and have it as a reference. Let me just run through them. Hospitality Sunday, well, that was meant to be next week when we gathered in each other's homes and shared food with people maybe that we didn't know so well. It appears that we've brought that forward a week. And looks like we're going to be doing Hospitality Sunday for quite a long time. In all seriousness, if you'd like to, maybe you could plan today to bring some food to share next week in your hubs. You might want to just talk that through a little bit. Easter is obviously in a few weeks' time. We had a number of weeks ago put these out. Had these printed. This was our theme for this Easter, hopeful. God in his kindness obviously knew something that we didn't as we put it together. So these cards are pretty useless at the moment because churches services were advertised at Beckenham Baptist and at Hillview. We obviously can't meet there. So we're going to need to think through how we're going to do Easter in our hubs. We're still going to stick with the same theme of being hopeful. And over the next week or two, I'm hopeful that we might be able to resource us all to be able to reach out to our friends, our neighbours, colleagues, family members with the good news of Jesus at Easter. A number of people internationally have been saying that actually the appetite for people to think about life and death, the real issues that people are facing are raising big questions for folk. And the gospel and the hope of the Lord Jesus, our sin defeated, our death overcome, is a wonderful message which we have got to offer to our friends around us. So we'll let you know about how we'll do Easter. It will look different, but we're still going to have it. Our AGM was booked for the end of April. We're not going to be able to meet in the same way, probably. We're not going to push ahead with nominations and that sort of thing at this time. We were planning on that coming out this week, but we're just going to hit pause on that. Church will still run, vestry will still be there, the wardens will still be doing their work. Once we can think through how we'll do an AGM properly, we'll let you know. Women's Weekend Away was booked in for early April, May. We were bringing over Cara Hartley from Sydney to speak at that. Cara and I have chatted. We've We've decided to cancel her flights. It means she can get a full refund and exchange them for a later date, which means that she won't be coming over for the Women's Weekend away. She will, however, be recording some talks, so that Women's Ministry over that weekend will still happen in some way. We're just working out with the Women's Ministry team the best way for that to happen. If it is appropriate to go away, we'll look to do that. If it's better to do something locally, maybe in smaller groups, that's certainly an option which is available to us. As we go forward, our small groups are going to become more and more important, aren't they? Meeting when we can. So therefore, fellowship groups will continue to run this week. Youth group will continue to run as normal. We will try and make sure that we are wise in keeping distance from each other physically, so spreading out chairs where we can. Obviously, if you are unwell or you've been in contact with somebody with COVID-19, for your sake and the sake of those around you, stay away. It grieves me to say that. I love it when people gather. You know I'm always encouraging people to meet and come to things, but these are unusual times. And so therefore, if you have been sick or are ill, please stay away. However, if you can make it, it will be good to meet together. And I think that's probably really comes to the heart of what's going on at the moment. A couple of people have sent me emails this week or rung me and saying, is church going to be cancelled? Well, church is not cancelled. Church is just going to be done differently from now on for a little while. You see, the church is those who have received that love of God, who know that love of God that we spoke about earlier. Church is those who have been gathered to God through the Lord Jesus. We are his people. Now, it is good and right that as we can, we give expression to that gathering, that we live that out. The Bible teaches us to not give up meeting together. Now, the Apostle Paul, when he is run out of town in Thessalonica, he speaks in 1 Thessalonians about his intense longing to get back and see the Thessalonians. There is something about being physically together which is vitally important for Christians, because it's living out who we are in Jesus, having been united to him. We can't meet and gather in the same way, but we are still church. We are still Trinity. We still have strong relationships with each other. You see, while physical isolation is going to be necessary for good public health, physical isolation is not good for individual spiritual health. We need to be aware of that as we go into this time. Therefore, we're going to have to work hard as a church family at connecting with each other, encouraging each other, listening to each other, speaking to each other, praying with each other. We can't just leave that to the staff or the fellowship group leaders, as important as those people will be. We can't leave it to the keen ones or the people who have been around a long time or the ones who we feel are really extroverted and know everybody. No, this responsibility rests with us all, church. This is our time where all of us are going to need to step up and make some awkward phone calls which will feel awkward the first time or the second time. In the coming week, I'm going to email to all of us some questions that we might ask, some suggestions about things that we might talk about. And for each person in the church, I'm going to give you two or three other people that I would like you to ring or make contact with each week. Same people over time. It's a bit like a phone tree, that prayer chain kind of thing. It's so that we can ensure that every person in the church is having contact and connection verbally, relationally, by text or by email with other people in the church. The great danger is that people get missed out and that they aren't connected with and they feel isolated, even more isolated than they already are feeling isolated. Church, will you join with me in this? Will you commit to actually stepping up and saying, as a member of this church, as a partner in this gospel, I'm going to commit to connecting, to reaching out, to speaking to others? As you do that, God is going to be at work through you. You will be his agent, sharing his love. Even if you feel awkward or it feels a bit weird, you are still going to be doing God's work, and he will use you for the good of others and for the glory of his son. Now, throughout all of this, communication is going to be vital. We will continue to send out emails about things that are going on. But I would really encourage you, when you, if you become ill, if you need to self-isolate, if things are going on around you, tell us. Send an email, send a text, pick up the phone. We are not too busy as clergy or staff to hear from you. We want to. Ring your fellowship group leader or the person whose house that you're meeting at. Let someone know and we will be able to share that. If you have needs, ask for help. It's our privilege to be able to serve you. If you are able to help, let us know how you can so that we can put you in contact with people who have particular needs. Wonderfully, I've already had a number of people in the church come and say, look, I can cook a meal and just drop it on someone's doorstep. I can run to the supermarket or to the chemist or whatever and pick some things up and just leave it in someone's letterbox or bring it to them. If you can help out in those sort of ways, do let us know. We'll be putting together a bit of a register of who has needs and who can help. One particular need that we have at this time is I would love it if we could find about a dozen or 15 old laptops or tablets, iPads, that sort of thing, which we could get some of our more tech-minded people to set up so that we can give it to older members of our church who don't immediately have access to that technology. Even today, there are a number of folk who can't access this service because they don't have access to the internet and to a computer. If you have an old computer lying around, let us know. We can set it up. Ideally, one that is a tablet which is 4G enabled so that it doesn't have to be set up through a modem in the home. But if you have one like that, get in contact. We'll put you in contact with some technical people and we'll try and make sure that every member of our church can at least access these online services. Friends, we have a saying in the staff team, if you don't know, ask. If you do know, share. If you don't know, ask. If you do know, share. And at this time in our church's life, we're going to need to do that a bit more. And so in order to be able to help us start doing that, I'm going to encourage you now in your hubs to turn to prayer with each other. Megan has already led us in prayer wonderfully as we've prayed for ourselves and our world. We're now going to pray for each other. So why don't you hit pause on the video in a second, share some of the things that you'd like to be praying for, and pray for each other. They don't have to be long prayers. They don't have to be sort of eloquent or holding together with good English, just like I've modeled. But being able to come together before our Lord and share our hearts with Him, coming to Him in confidence through the Lord Jesus who loved us and laid down His life for us, that will be a great thing. So, church, to prayer.
A reading from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 to 11. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. Be alert and sober of mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ after you have suffered a little while, will Himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To Him be the power for ever and ever. Amen.
Well, we're nearly at the end of our time together today. It's been wonderful to meet with you virtually, at least. I do hope that you've been encouraged as you've met together, or as you've seen and been aware that others are meeting at this time. Today's been a very unusual day. It's been an unusual week for us. It's been a slightly unusual service with different structures and different kind of layout of things. And as you would have heard, we just had our second reading right at the end of the service. It was from 1 Peter 5. It was a reading which Peter, at the end of a letter that Peter wrote to a group of people who are dispersed around the world, scattered in different places. He's written to a group of people who were fearful in their own way. They were fearful of persecution. And Peter writes to them, urging them in this time of anxiety and fear to humble themselves under God's mighty hand, knowing who he is. But he finishes with a word of great hope. He finishes by pointing people forward. Humble yourselves under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. We are people of hope. We are people who know a God who has overcome death, who has set a day when the Lord Jesus will return. We are people who trust in a God who knows the beginning from the end, who is loving from everlasting to everlasting. We are people who have hope because we have a God who cares for us, and therefore we cast our anxiety onto him, as we've just done in prayer. We are people who look forward. We look forward to Jesus coming again. We look forward to being able to meet together again as church at 9:30 in the morning, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We are people who look forward to the fact that God will sustain us through this time. Church, we are not alone. We have brothers and sisters around the world who are going through the same thing, who are praying for us as we are praying for them. We have an enemy who prowls around looking for someone to devour. We resist him. We stand firm in the faith. We tell each other the gospel. We keep looking forward. People, my brothers and sisters, do not be hopeless. Be hopeful. This will come to an end. The Lord has promised that the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. There is his final word to us. To him be the power forever and ever. In our fear, in our anxiety and worry, as we feel powerless, will to him be the power forever and ever. Amen. We're going to sing now. We're going to sing of the Rock of Ages cleft for us. We're going to sing of the one in whom we find refuge. We're going to sing of that great day when we go to see him, or he comes to collect us. Before we sing, shall we pray together? Almighty Father, we thank you for our time together this morning. We thank you that even though we have not been able to gather in one big group, that you have been close to us. Thank you, Father, that you have reminded us of your love, that you have strengthened us in our faith, that you have equipped us for our service, and that you have fixed our eyes on Jesus that we might hope in him. Father, as we now sing, as we lift our voices to praise you, and as we go out into this day, into this world, keep our hearts and minds fixed on you, the one who will restore us and make us strong, firm, and steadfast, you, the God of all grace. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it has been a very different kind of service, hasn't it? Well done for making it. Well done for joining us. Friends, I hope no matter where you are, whether or not at one of the hubs around the city or watching on your own or with your family in your home, I do hope and pray that you've been blessed by our time together this morning. I trust that as we've opened the scriptures, we've heard God speak to us, and we've heard his words of reassurance, his words of comfort, and that we've been challenged by the need for us to live out what it means to be his people, his church as Trinity in the south of Christchurch, until that time that we can meet together again. I am really hopeful that these weeks or months, however long they go on, might be for us as a church family not only a time where we survive, but where we might grow as God's people, that our connections with each other and with Him might deepen and be enriched, and that we might come from this time praising Him for all that He has done in us and through us. Once again, please do be in contact, that we might pray for you, care for you, that we might share how our lives are going, that together we might get through this time, endure through this time, even thrive through this time. But for now, as you go, go knowing that the Lord loves you, that He is with you, and He will never leave you. And as we do at the end of every service, let us say the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of His Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen.